Barony of Malala, Willamette Valley, Oregon, May 10th, 2007 AD. Change year 9.
This way.
The farmer was sweating with fear as he led the McKenzie party down the old private road, with woods and scrub close on either hand, and vines twining across the cracked surface. It was an early May dawn, and there was an intense stillness, as if life waited while the gray gloaming faded into light and trickled down through the leaves overhead. The mosquitoes were unfortunately all too active, little itching needles stabbing at the backs of Juniper's knees and face and hands as bodies brushed through dew-wet grass and bushes. They passed the rusting hulk of a car, still resting where it had swerved off the road and struck a tree 9 years ago, mostly covered in vine and weed. Through the dirt-encrusted window, Juniper could see there were still some wisps of hair on the skull that rested against the steering wheel within. Then they left the roadway and went more slowly along a faint game trail through older established woods. In a clearing where sun speared down through broken canopy, a ruffled grouse cock stood on the stump. The yellow pouches on either side of his neck swelled and shrank amid the white downy feathers. The grouse took alarm at the farmer's passage.
Slow down.
He was hurrying along a familiar way, and even so made more noise in his bib overalls than her clan folk did in all their gear and weapons. Not that it should matter right now, but there was the principle of the thing. The gray look to his skin as he slowed down made her feel briefly ashamed. He was risking his family and home, not just his life.
Should be around here. I left him.
They came near the eastern edge of this patch of woods. Juniper smiled reassuringly and pointed up. The tree overhead was 100-foot Douglas fir. The farmer stared into the branches and still stared again when a rope uncoiled from one of them. The figures in their war cloaks hugging the trunk above were hard enough to notice even if you knew where to look. Astrid and Eiler and Sam Aylward came sliding down it. The young women jumped free at head height and landed lightly as cats, grinning silently. Her first armsman waited until his boot soles were a foot from the ground before dropping, dusting his palms and walking over to her.
Just as this gentleman said, lady, the railroad's in use. We're keeping the steel bright. Ox and horse droppings. And car patrol along at the intervals he mentioned, too.
And the local coven vouches for him and his friends.
Astrid Larson was eager to the point of quivering slightly. This was exactly the sort of trip around Robin Hood's barn that she gloried in. Eiler leaned on her bow and shrugged slightly with a smile. Her expression spoke louder than words, or sign. Your call, splendiferously supreme clan, chieftainly mom person. Juniper looked at the farmer again. He was in his late 30s, probably, or possibly half a decade older. People's looks often aged faster when they got into that range nowadays. Shaggy with brown beard and hair, long except for a bald patch on top, and weathered and worn like any outdoor worker, but well-fed and shod. He had the spear, too, and a long hunting knife.
You're a free tenant and better off than most here in the Protector's Lands. Is it worth the risk to you and your kin and the loss of all you own? Do you have a particular grudge against Lord Malala?
Yeah. Sitting in that goddamn concrete castle and telling me what to do and taking a quarter of what I grow? Making me take off my goddamn hat and bow when he rides by? So I'm treated like a better grade of dirt than the poor bastards who ended up as bond tenants or peons. Great. I remember what things were like before the change. I was born a free man and an American citizen, by God. We're not starving anymore. Nobody would be going hungry if those bloodsuckers would leave us alone. It's just...
He lifted the short spear. It was a good enough weapon to frighten off wild dogs. Against mail-clad men-at-arms or armored horses, it might as well have been a breadstick. The rest of his weaponry was a knife and a pre-change camper's hatchet. Juniper smiled sadly.
And it's not surprising that you're the leader in this. It's the man who has a little who wants more, not the starveling with nothing but an empty belly. Also, things haven't quite had time to settle down and set hard yet. A generation or two, and our friend's grandchildren here might be fighting for the Baron, not against him. Well, most places to the south do better than Arminger, sure. And we'll help you. I just wanted to be certain you all knew what you were getting into.
We do. And we've heard about what you folks did in the east last week. We're willing to take a chance.
Go, then. Have your people ready to join in, but be quick. Joanne, Liam, Ibar, go along. You know the signals.
They nodded, touched their bows to their helmets' brims, and trotted along with the local farmer to make sure he got back to his gathered friends. They would also ensure he didn't survive any treachery. The locals knew where the Mackenzies were, but only in the most general sense. She didn't doubt their hearts were in the right place, but she also didn't doubt that they'd hold back until the clan's warriors had shown what they could do, and there might be an informer.